Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is indeed. Let me give you some news coming up on the Monster broadcast this weekend. It's been a very busy day today. I didn't want it to be a really busy day today. In fact, I tried not to make it a busy day today for a lot of reasons, but it's a very busy day today. Here's what I found out. Now, you're going to find this fascinating. I know you will, but I want you to make sure to tune in to the Monster broadcast on Sunday. Had some individuals reach out to me today, and let's just say I will be bringing representative, high-level representative, from Rock River Arms and, I believe, Springfield Armory on the Monster broadcast on Sunday to talk about what is happening in Illinois and what both of those companies are currently being faced with now. We're going to give them an opportunity on the program. And as you know, you've been listening to me the last few days, you know I've not taken a position. I've been very fair because I simply don't know what's going on. So much is happening. We're talking about the International Firearms Manufacturers Association, some anti-gun legislation in Illinois. Boy, there's a big shock, right? And accusations that Springfield Armory and Rock River Arms were somehow behind it and signed on to it. And to me, it didn't pass the smell test. And I made that statement over the last couple of days. Something about the story isn't passing the smell test. As a result of that, I've not taken a position at all, and I won't. I want them, and both of those companies have earned, believe me, the right to have their say. And I can't wait to bring them to the program. That's going to happen this coming Sunday, the 7th, on the Monster Show, and it will be a good one, no doubt about it. We'll ask them the questions, and we'll let you hear their responses. So it will be a lot of fun. Also, this is a story I'm going to talk about later with my guest who's going to stay with me for the remainder of the program, but I'll just tease it now before I go to him. That's Jerry Henry, by the way, yes, from Georgia Carry. We'll be with Jerry in just a second. But before I do that, let me tell you, I tried not to make it a hard day. I really didn't want to do a whole lot today. I really didn't. I wanted to kind of take it easy. First thing I saw this morning agitated me, and I did not want to get agitated. I did not want angry Mark coming out of the box. But lo and behold, it did. Just briefly, anyway, I had to contain it. I had to take my beta blocker, man. Type AAA. You got to watch that stuff. But there's a story about Stacey Washington. You know who Stacey Washington is? I picked up the laptop this morning, sat down, a cup of coffee. Even before I had my coffee, actually, because I wrote about it on AmoLamp. He's like, popped on the Fox News. Boom, there's a story about St. Louis Dispatch, post-St. Louis Post-Dispatch writer, being suspended for defending the National Rifle Association. And let me make this very clear. When the anti-gun grabbers, I'll leave it at that. No satellite radio moment here today. Calm down. Beta blocker kicked in from earlier. When the gun grabbers say NRA, they're talking about you. When they reference NRA, that's their straw man there. That's who they set up. That's you. Okay, make that very clear. It's not the National Rifle Association. It's you they're talking about, law-abiding gun owners, by the tens and tens of millions, over 100 plus million of you. That's who they're talking about. And they set the National Rifle Association up as the evil monster, the head of the snake, but they are referring to you. So we had a left-wing kook, former retired professor, imagine that, pen a piece for the Missourian stating that the NRA was more dangerous than, get this, ISIS. I mean, just off the hook, first thing I got to see in the morning when I wake up and open my okay, you follow me when you see this stuff? I know most of you do. You get this stuff. It's just, most of it you can blow over, but that you can't. So Stacey Washington, she goes her moniker on Twitter and all, Stacey on the right. She's great. Very pro-gun. Was at the National Rifle Association meetings. Columnist, regular columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, wrote a piece just discussing the stupidity of that piece. and the National Rifle Association. Yeah, okay, when was the last time NRA or any NRA member beheaded anybody or blew somebody up or torched them on fire or began throwing homosexuals off of buildings? I mean, come on, man. Cut this crap. She was, and then went on to talk about how, you know, a lot of this stems from the fact that there are no conservatives in the media, and she was promptly suspended by the St. Louis Dispatch. Stacey Washington responded to that suspension by saying, you, bye. Here's my resignation. Have a great day. Stacey Washington and I communicated before I got off my recliner. I was on her within minutes, seconds. Please come on the show, please. And she is. She will be on the show Sunday. So the Monster program is shaping up to be just vicious fun. Lots of great stuff. So make sure to tune in. Let me go to my guest who's going to stay with me for the remainder of the hour, Jerry Henry. Jerry, Georgia Carey Executive Director, GeorgiaCarey.org Executive Director, extraordinaire, close friend, and I might add, fan favorite. How the heck are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing
wonderful. I didn't wake up in that frame, but I probably would have if I'd have seen that first article as soon as you did.
First thing. I mean, was waking up, was yawning, pulling the sleepies out of my eyes, you know? Oh, no. God, here we go. Just didn't want to have to do that today. But there was big news last night in the state of Georgia that has ramifications across the country. Again, I love when this happens. You know, it used to be Florida that when mm-hmm. Florida made news, it rolled across the country. Georgia's kind of, at least from the southeast anyway, has kind of taken that over because Florida can't get their act together. Florida's got Republicans that won't worry about this. They're decades behind other states now. As sad as that is that true, though? I mean, it's true, isn't it? Florida's way behind everybody now, particularly this state.
Well, they seem to be, but I don't want to be seen as throwing rocks, but they seem to be going backwards instead of forward. But then there are times when we also appear to be going backwards as well. So I don't, like I said.
Not the last decade, brother. I've lived here for a decade, and I haven't seen anything go backwards. In fact, I've seen nothing but forward. And
well, okay.
Compared to what's happening down there.
We don't go backwards, but we don't go forward as quickly as we would like to. We still have setbacks from time to time, is what I was really getting at.
That's true. That's true. To phrase it that way, that's true. And let's not forget, a couple years ago, Governor Scott signed 6 pro-gun pieces of legislation, but they just can't move on the big things. They can't move on open carry. They can't move on campus carry, where the rest of the country is just blowing right by them. They're not to the point where New Jersey, where you look at Florida's gun laws and say, okay, Florida is, you know, how a good day in Florida is not how many crappy things get to the governor's desk. That's not a... Florida is still very, very pro-gun, but has just been lagging behind for the last 10 years. Other states are moving faster than they are now. And the reason I say that is because last night, what happened in Georgia?
Governor Deal signed our campus carry bill.
Making us the 10th state. Correct me if that number is correct, right? To the 10th state. Now, one-fifth of the country.
That's the number I understand, yes.
Okay. Why does that matter to the rest of the country that Governor Deal signed that bill?
Are you asking or telling?
No, I'm asking. Why does Jerry? Well, I could, but I want to get your perspective. Why does Jerry Henry think it's important to the rest of the country?
Well, I think it's important to the rest of the country because a couple of things. Number one, we keep moving forward, and number two, it was really kind of a slap in the face to Bloomberg and his group in that they had stopped us last year from getting that bill passed, and now we came back this year, passed it again. And got it signed into law, and it should have ramifications all over for not only Bloomberg, but for other states.
Did Bloomberg spend money down here? Were we ever able to nail that down? Do we know?
Well, we don't know how much, but we know he spent money, and we don't really know who he spent it on.
That's the key. We don't know where it went.
Right. We do know that you know, he's got Moms Demand Action in Georgia down here, or Mom Demands Action for Gun Sense in Georgia, whatever they want to call themselves this week.
Such
but
a silly name, mom, isn't it?
They have the moms groups. And of course, there are other groups that were spending money as well. Soros was spending money down here, as was Pelosi's nephew or son that goes around trying to spend money as well. So there was a lot of money being spent down here to try to get things the other way. But we prevailed, and I think that hurt that group nationally as well.
Well, there's a bigger story here that when we come back from the break, I want to read last year's veto of HB 859, which was last year, 2016 concealed carry bill or campus carry bill, that Governor Deal vetoed. And I think the bigger story lies in that bill and that veto. And we'll get into the nuance of that after the break. We're getting ready to take a break here in about 20 seconds or so, 15 seconds. But let me set it up with this. When you come back, I want to read a fairly good chunk of Deal's veto, because he handed, keep in mind, Governor Nathan Deal, Republican, "I'm pro-gun as they get. I've signed every piece of pro-gun legislation they put on my desk, of course, except this one, because I'm putting a big butt in front of it." And not only did he veto it, which he could have done quietly, he handed them a victory, a PR victory that left the rest of us standing there with our mouths agape. We'll be back with Jerry Henry right after this.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours, thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today. And there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right, I'm talking with Jerry Henry, executive director of GeorgiaCarry.org. Major legislation passed. Yes, Chantel.
Hey, is that you? You know, today's an important day.
It is. Georgia's legislation passed. Campus Carry was signed. Well, not passed. It was signed last night by Governor Deal. It is. You're absolutely correct about that.
And it's your birthday and Cinco de Mayo, which means you can eat all the Mexican food you can get. Happy
Cinco
birthday,
Mayo. Well, thank you, brother. Yeah, it is happy. That's why I didn't want to get agitated today. I was trying to have a calm day. My blood pressure down on my birthday, right? It's hard when you got to see this stuff, and you see this stuff the first thing in the morning. Man.
Well, but you're lucky.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, Cinco de Mayo, man. It's a fun birthday. For years and years, I never knew why all the Mexicans were partying. I just thought they liked me. But it is a great birthday to have. There's always something going on. You can always find somebody. You can always go somewhere and have a great time.
So what will we be eating tonight?
Well, I don't know. I've been really good. I've lost about 28 pounds, but I guess I've earned a few tacos tonight.
Tacos? Come on. You got to splurge, with some sopapillas, some enchiladas, the whole sampler platter.
All right. I'm going to do the whole thing.
Exactly. Happy birthday, my friend.
There you go. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. All right. We're talking with Jerry Henry, Georgia Carry. Big news here. Georgia's Campus Carry passed. Last year it was vetoed by the governor. It passed this year. And was signed by the governor very quietly yesterday. Jerry, welcome back. I want to read some of this veto from HB 859 because I think this is the big part of the story.
I don't disagree with it, but and when you do that, we'll compare with some of the things that was
right
this year.
Let's do that. That's where I want to go. Let me go to last year because he literally handed the anti-gunners a PR coup, if you will, that was used, and I warned listeners on this program, and I think you were on the show last year when it happened. I said, you watch, this is going to have reverberation across the country in every state. The anti-gunners are going to use this, and they did. They did. Mm-hmm. Georgia's pro-gun governor said this. He invoked this. This is wrong, wrong, wrong. So let's go here. HB 850, this is part of Governor Deal's veto. Some supporters of HB 859, keeping in mind that's the campus carry that passed last year in the state of Georgia, contend that this legislation is justified under the provisions of the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which provides in part that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Identical words are contained in Article 1, Section 1, Paragraph 8 of the Constitution of the state of Georgia. It would be incorrect to conclude, however, that certain restrictions on the right to keep and bear arms are unconstitutional. Now, Deal goes on in what is several hundred words. He just didn't veto it quietly. He went on and he continued. In the 2008 case of District of Columbia v. Heller, United States Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, writing the opinion of the court, reviews the history of the Second Amendment and sets forth the most complete explanation of the amendment ever embodied in a Supreme Court opinion. While the subject matter of HB 859 was not before the court in the Heller case, the opinion clearly establishes that, like most rights, the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited, from Blackstone through 19th century cases. So you see how Governor Deal went on to invoke Heller, out of context, I might add, Madison and others and other founding fathers in this lengthy, long-winded veto of our campus carry bill. I'll stop there for the essence of time, Jerry, but that hurt us last year when he did that, didn't it?
Oh, sure it did. That appeared to be written by Bloomberg and his group, and quite frankly, and not a pro-gun governor, or not one who had been endorsed by the NRA for the last 30 years.
All right, now let me read the last paragraph, and then let's kind of dig into this. We'll cut like we did yesterday. We'll unzip it and unpack it. From the early days of our nation and state, colleges have been treated as sanctuaries of learning where firearms have not been allowed. To depart from such time-honored protections should require overwhelming justification. I do not find that justification exists. Therefore, I veto HB 859. Jerry, we had this very conversation at about this time last year because he vetoed it right about the same time last year.
That's correct.
And we said exactly what you said. He didn't write this. This didn't come from him. If it did, there's money behind it and big money behind it. Now, we found out later that the Board of Regents apparently has more power here in the state than the governor does because there was a lot of games being played there. When you hear that, would you have thought that the same governor would sign this year's legislation? I mean, how does he justify signing a very similar bill? And I want you to tell us the differences.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that he did, and I'm not taking up for him in any way, shape, or form. Don't get me wrong, because I thought it was wrong to veto the bill last year. However, in his veto message last year and shortly thereafter, he said that he was challenging all of the police departments or the campuses and the Board of Regents, as well as the college presidents, to ensure that the safety of their campuses were brought up to standards. Now, that's what Georgia Tech's been saying for years every time somebody says something about the crime rate over there. Well, we've added more cameras, we've added more policemen, et cetera. And every year it still gets worse. However, he did come back this year, and one of the things that he said in his veto message was that, let me see here quick. While HB 280 addresses the rights and restrictions relating to weapons carry license on a college campus, it in effect may have greater significance for students who are going to or coming from a campus. Unfortunately, in parts of the state, the path to higher education travels through dangerous territory.
Well, so was there no dangerous territory last year, Jerry?
Well, there was dangerous territory last year. I didn't say that. What I'm telling you is, and what I said was, that he challenged all the police departments locally as well as the campuses to make things safer around the campuses, and apparently he felt that they didn't this year. So, but I don't
know
why he signed one bill and why he didn't sign the other one. You got me. I mean,
yeah, I can't say this for fact either. I don't know this for certain, but I do want to throw this out because we can, okay? It seems to me that what he did with that statement was used it as an excuse to sign a bill this year that he damn well should have signed last year, and this gave him that quote-unquote plausible deniability, if you will. Well, I told him to do that, and they didn't. And, okay, now I'm going to sign it because his veto last year, if you read that on the surface and didn't know anything about it, you'd have been all over it. If you were an anti-gunner, you'd have been all over it. I'm not going to blame every town and those liars. He handed it to them.
They're all over it right now. Have you seen their Facebook posts? I mean, they're going berserk. They can't handle it, you know.
Well, their heads are popping like zits because they're liberals and they've lost at every twist and turn, just like the rest of the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi's going crazy. Everybody's health care is gone. The Republicans are going to glow in the dark with tattoos on their foreheads. They're just idiots. That's what they do, okay? You know, and I think what you riled up before the break, not you, Nancy Pelosi. Good heavens. When we come back, we'll continue to break it down because this is important to you. If your state does not have campus carry, what happened here yesterday has implications in your state. Kansas has signed it. It goes into effect July 1. Georgia, it goes into effect July 1. Guess what's not going to happen? I can tell you this with certainty. There won't be blood on the streets. You're not going to have to put lifters on your Jeep to drive through the rivers of blood that they're all predicting will happen. That much I can tell you for certain. More with Jerry Henry when we come back. We'll also cover some happy ending stories.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine. Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right, Jerry Henry, Executive Director of GeorgiaCarry.org. Jerry, welcome back. I've got the passage of Governor Deal's apportionment, if you will, of the statement that you made regarding his little caveat of asking them to secure their campuses. Let me read this.
Mm-hmm.
I have today issued an executive order directed to the Commissioner of the Technical College System of Georgia and the Chancellor of the University System of Georgia, requesting that they submit a report to me, the Lieutenant Governor, and the Speaker of the House by August 1, 2016, as to the security measures that each college within their respective systems has in place. I hereby call on the leaders of the municipalities and counties in which these colleges are located, along with their law enforcement agencies, to review and improve, if necessary, their security measures in areas surrounding these colleges. Since each of these municipalities and counties receive significant revenue by virtue of the location of these colleges in their jurisdictions, I believe it is appropriate that they be afforded extra protections. Now, when you combine this, see, hindsight, we're operating on the benefit of hindsight. That rearview mirror is always high definition, isn't it? Okay?
Certainly. Certainly.
We look
2020 hindsight.
Of course, we would have never imagined last year what we saw this year, what you just mentioned, based on that statement, as clearly as we do now. We could have speculated,
maybe made an educated guess, but I never heard that come up at all. So based on what you just told us and what I just read you, was this part, do you think, part of Deal's calculated signature and approval of the new bill? Because there were some changes made to it. I want you to tell us what those changes were.
Yeah, there were several changes that were made to it. However, you know, that's the only thing I can do is speculate on whether this had anything to do with it. But he did say several times this past few weeks about he was not satisfied with the security around campuses. And one of the things that we always drive home is the fact that when people leave the campus, even though they may be 22, 3, 4, 5 years old or whatever, if they're walking because they live close, they're disarmed. There's nothing that you can do. Otherwise, you got to break the law, or you go and risk going to jail and losing your college credits and everything else. And that's one of the things that we've driven home, as well as if you're downtown, and as we've discussed, and most people understand that at least in Atlanta, there are campuses downtown, and you never know when you're on a campus. You don't.
Right.
You can just walk down the street and make a turn, and you're standing there. And this, until this law goes into effect, if you cut across the corner of a lot to take a shortcut to go to a restaurant or to your car or whatever, and you just happen to be on campus property, then you're breaking the law. And I think he saw some of those. I'm hoping that he saw some of those inequities in the law that would give people further protection.
I don't doubt.
Again,
that.
I'm not trying to defend his position. I'm just stating that these facts are out there. If you want to read them, fine. If you don't, that's fine too.
I don't doubt that at all. Relative to what Deal thought. I mean, again, I can only speculate too. Unless we have him on the program and pop his head open and start asking him questions and he answers truthfully, we'll never really know. What we do know is. And I will never understand. I don't. This is going to go down as one of life's great mysteries to me. Why he issued the veto he issued last year?
I cannot tell you that either.
It's baffled an awful lot of people at the Capitol. It's baffled lawmakers in Georgia. It's baffled all of us. We we've talked to them. You know, I've talked to lawmakers about it. They shake their head. It's that old, you know, SMH. Shaking my head. I have no idea why he did it, and I don't think we will. The speculation could be that he was talking to others. Now, there are some differences in this bill. Let me also go back and throw some hindsight. Deal, at the time, sent a detailed letter to various lawmakers asking them to make specific changes to the bill. And you were on this program last year and said, no, we're not going to support any changes because one of those changes makes it illegal for something that hasn't been illegal in Georgia for 140 years, and that was the daycares. So what happened here? What were some of the changes that he felt comfortable enough to sign this year?
Well, I guess you caught me then, because he did. The daycare centers were included, but they were limited, I believe, on the number of campuses. They can't make the whole campus a daycare center. But what was added this year was there are some dual enrollment and what they call a career academies, where they have high school students that are actually going to college campuses. Those were put off limits, and the daycare centers were put off limits.
So that's a classic classic case of compromise in order to get a bill passed that every single lawmaker who supported this bill was in agreement with.
Oh, that's correct.
Okay, is that a bad thing?
Well, if it here's the way it is. Had the compromise not, had we not taken the compromise, we would not have campus carry in Georgia right now, or it would not have been signed into law. We don't have it right now. We won't have it until July the 1st. But if you know, we've discussed this on numerous occasions. We lost our rights, or almost lost our rights. What rights we've lost? We lost them through incrementalism, and that's the only way we're going to get them back. And if we don't break that, as they call it, the glass ceiling in some places, if we don't get through that glass ceiling and get a foot in the door, we're never going to get it here in Georgia. There have been governors before us that said we would never be able to carry on college campuses. There have been governors that said we would never carry in the church. Well, guess what? We can, not the way we want to, but every time we pass a bill, it hasn't really been the bill that we wanted, but we have, in the preceding years, been able to, or in the succeeding years, we have been able to expand those rights. And that's what we expect to do with this.
You know, there's an absolutist position here that you're very familiar with, not
yes.
just here, but everywhere across the country. It's at the national level. It's at the federal level. It's at individual states. It's in every state. There's an absolutist viewpoint in every state when it comes to the right to bear arms. Damn it, if I can't get it all now, we don't take it. That, to me, is no compromise. We're not. There's a difference. It depends on the – of course there is, because I'm with you on this one. And I'll tell you why. Because I know the lawmakers. I've spoken to the lawmakers, and I know how the process works. I know this. If we didn't get this bill this year, we weren't going to get it next year, period. It was done.
That's correct.
We don't know who the governor's going to be, and flat out, let's get the bill in place today. And I want you to think about this around the country when you come, because I know right now there's people cussing me out. Tough. I don't care. Here's why. You take what you can get. It's that old word we made up on this show a long time ago, Jerry, incrementalization, right?
That's
it's incrementalization, baby, because if you can't get it today, I'd rather have this now. You know why? Because we can come back and fix this next year and the year after, and we've been experts at it here in this state. I don't know of any other organization, save maybe VCDL and AZCDL, and there are many others, but I know I say them because I know of individual cases where they've been very good at it, as we have at Georgia Carry. And that is going in and doing just that. Let's get this thing in here, then let's go in and fix this thing the next year. So
that's
I'm with you on that.
And that's what we've done. And we've our no compromises. We don't give up anything that we have. In other words, we didn't have anything on college campuses, so what did we give up? Actually nothing, because we didn't have anything to begin with.
No, we moved our agenda forward.
Do what?
We moved that agenda forward,
that's
and that's
correct.
What we have to do on the federal level.
We moved the agenda forward, and we can, if you go back and look, and if you look at the place you can carry on campus, there's something like about 60 or 70% of the campus that you can carry on, because mm-hmm. an awful lot of it's open space. And when you look at where the crimes are committed, the majority of them that I see reported are committed at night when kids are coming out of the libraries, headed to
sure.
their cars, headed to their apartments, or headed to the dorms.
Now, Georgia Tech's infamous for that. They're infamous for that.
That's correct. And now, when somebody decides they're going to get that guy's laptop or his iPad, guess what? He's got to stop and think. I wonder if that guy's armed.
Well, and in many cases, he won't have to stop and think. He may not have to stop and think. He may already know. All right, because that visual. So that's a good point. When we come back, I want to mention that absolutism one more time, because look, I'm with you on this. We shouldn't have to go through this process. We should all have this right and not have to barter it. When we come back, I'll explain right after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away. Which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
All right, we're going to wrap up this hour on Cinco de Mayo. Go get some tacos today. Have a margarita or something. I might. You never know. Hey, great hour here. Lots of fun. This conversation is I'm enjoying this for a number of different reasons. Jerry, welcome back. Jerry Henry, Executive Director of GeorgiaCarry.org. Let me tell you about this absolutist thing here. Like everybody else, I too am an absolutist. We should not have to have a piece of paper from the federal government or a state to exercise any of our rights to bear our right to bear arms. We shouldn't have to do it.
That's
we
right.
shouldn't have to fight every day in state legislators and state legislatures to have to exercise our right because we crossed the street and an imaginary boundary that this says over here is a campus and over here it's not. Now you're a felon. Now you're not. We shouldn't have Florida shouldn't have to be going through the hassles they're going through for someone to openly carry a firearm if they choose versus concealed. We shouldn't have to do these things. But guess what? We do.
That's
the reality
right.
of the situation is that we do, and we have to come up with a strategy that doesn't crush our agenda but allows us to move forward. And so we can argue amongst each other as to how to move that agenda forward, but we all need to agree that the agenda needs to move forward. If it's not moving forward and growing, it's dying, and we don't want that
That's
to happen.
Right.
Final
well,
on that,
also,
you want to throw something?
Well, I was going to say, you know, people complain about the system. And I don't particularly like the system, but I do know what the system is. We've learned the system, and we know that that's how we have to work until the system changes. And we work to try to change the system from one side, and we work within the system on the other side to try to accomplish what we need to get accomplished.
Question, let me throw something out here completely off topic, but I want to go here because the,
sure.
the liberal heads are popping, as I said, like whiteheads, okay, the zits. The District 6 race right now with Karen Handel and John Ossoff, the socialist communist masquerading mm-hmm. as a moderate Democrat, how do you think that's
right.
going to turn out? That's historically a very conservative district, and the Democrats on the national level are throwing a ton of money into that race. to try to use it as a coup to claim a victory over Trump. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, they've thrown bunches of money in there, as well as they've gotten an Atlanta judge to ask to get them to open up the registration again, so that there are people that are going to be registering to vote in the runoff that did not vote and were not registered to vote for the in the original election. So they're doing everything they can to win. Now, I think it's going to come out. Karen Handel is going to be the next representative for that area. But, I've been wrong before.
Well, it's interesting. This is the way the media spins things. And, gosh, I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. Here's why it's so
important
that you can't be. Not you. I'm talking to listeners. You too, I'm thrilled if you do, man. I'm telling you. Here's the thing. This is always if you're headline surfing, you're doing yourself a disservice. Here's why. The media has been spinning that, boy, he almost won. If it's only 2 percentage points out, he would have won it outright. There were 13 people running against him in the primary, and he was the only one that stood a chance as a Democrat. So it only stood to reason that he was going to get a larger percentage when the rest of that percentage was divvied out. But the media doesn't tell you that. They forget to tell you that. No. They make it look like it was the two of them for the runoff. So please don't pay attention to the spin. Yes. All right, Jerry.
Well, anybody who headline surfs is looking for the wrong information, because that's not the way it is.
Well, they're going to find it. They're going to find it if that's what they're doing. All right, let's go. This story just kills me. This is the one that really riled me up this morning. Fox ran with it. Daily newspaper columnist who defended NRA quits after suspension. Conservative columnist suspended by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch after she defended the NRA from comparisons to ISIS, fired back with her resignation and a series of targeted tweets. The piece came out at a website called the Columbia Missourian. All right, she responded to it in her regular column at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. But here's what this clown said. He went on to say that, as you know, ISIS is the acronym for the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. It is a terrorist organization founded in 99, headquartered in Syria and feared around the world. The NRA is the acronym for the National Rifle Association, founded in 1871, headquartered in Fairfax. What makes ISIS so feared is its willingness to kill in pursuit of its goal of creating a fundamentalist caliphate. What makes the NRA so feared is its willingness to spend heavily on campaign, aggressively in pursuit of its goal of removing all restrictions on the president, on and on and on, with these ludicrous comparisons between the National Rifle Association, which is you, by the way. Remember what I said. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying. And ISIS, the most vicious terrorist organization outside al-Qaeda that this world has ever seen, at least in modern history. She fired back and said, "This is insane. Show me any NRA member that has ever decapitated anyone, thrown homosexuals off of a building, lit people on fire, run people over on tanks, filmed it all for the whole world to see." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she got suspended by her employer. Jerry, does that mean the St. Louis Post-Dispatch supports the Missourian? Because they're claiming now, oh, no, it's because she had ties to the NRA she didn't disclose to us and all this other crap. That's not true.
What does that have to do with it anyway?
I don't have any idea.
I mean, I'm a member of the Rotary Club. If I didn't tell that, should I be fired? I mean, and the Rotary Club probably is as dangerous as the NRA is. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Well,
you're
going to
keep on, and you're going to make me as mad as you were this morning. Now I'm going to have a bad evening.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I just want to kind of pull back and let you know that this is going to be a great topic of conversation, because I reached out to Stacey Washington, who is the former columnist at the Post-Dispatch, immediately. And she happened to be, she was right there in front of her stuff, too, and the two of us conversed immediately early this morning. And I can't wait to bring her to the show. I'll tell you when it's going to be. It's going to be in the second half of hour one, 8:30 to 9 Eastern time Sunday, 5:30 to 6 Pacific time Sunday. And you can calculate the math in whatever time zone you're at and parts unknown in between those two zones on both coasts and figure it out. But you don't want to miss this. It's going to be really good. And you can follow her on Twitter, at Stacey on the Right. She's wonderful. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to talk to someone like this whose story is making national news, from someone who's been so wronged, Jerry, simply because of what she said in her regular column. This guy's not even a paid columnist. He's just a guy that writes a bunch of dribble over there that the Missourian printed, and he starts going off on statistics that you're more likely to be killed 45,000 times, 1 in 45,808 of being killed by a foreign-born terrorist. But boy, I'll tell you what, a gunshot, 1 in 358. Show me one of those NRA members. I don't even know where these guys get this, these numbers. They just pull the stuff out of their hat.
They don't. Their numbers mean about as much as their words do, which is not very much.
What else is going on with GeorgiaCarry.org? What did you think of NRA? You thought it was good? You liked it?
Oh yeah, we had a great meeting up there. We signed up about 120 something members. We got four new life members and made a lot of money. So yeah, we were happy with it. I managed to get some tickets for my kids to go see Hank Jr.'s concert, and they loved it. And now what we're doing at Georgia Carry, we're waiting for Monday when we expect the governor to sign HB 292 into effect, which will be the third bill this year that we passed and got signed into law if he does sign this one, and he has indicated that he will.
15 seconds. What is it in a nutshell in 15 seconds?
Well, that's the omnibus bill. That's the one that allows people with reciprocal license to have 90 days to get another license. It changes the time frame that probate court can issue a license from 45 days to 35 days. It gives protection to firearms instructors, et cetera, and several things that we talked about, like HB 1060 was last year.
I'm gonna take some credit for that 90 days. That's something I've been arguing for a long time. When somebody moves into a state with a reciprocal permit, they shouldn't lose that permit and that right to carry just because they had to get a new driver's license. Boy, and I'll tell you, that was a big one on my list, and thank you for everything you do.
Well,
Jerry Henry, God bless you, brother.
You got tired
of hearing me complain, right? Well, thank you for everything that you do. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. We'll see you on the radio Sunday. Huge program coming up.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.